fast cars.
Hello, ladies.
This is Women Take the Wheel.
Sit down, strap in, and turn on all you got.
Nikki Clark is taking you behind the scenes.
You're ready to win.
Let me tell you, these cars, they get up and go pretty good.
Introducing you to women drivers,
crew members,
and fans of the racing world. Plus, Nikki is bringing you the latest racing news in Indiana and beyond.
We're going to bring it to you from the tower as they get ready to pull into the beams.
From the All Indiana Podcast Network.
All right, strap yourselves in.
Woo!
Getting off the track and in your ears. This is Women Take the Wheel.
Come on, baby.
With your host.
Here we go.
Nikki Clark.
Hi, I'm Nikki Clark, your host for Women Take the Wheel here on the All Indiana Podcast Network. And on this episode, I'm very excited and honored to talk to racing legend Lynn St. James and IndyCar team owner Beth Peretta. Find out how these two ladies met and came together to create Women in Motorsports North America. Hear how this program will help women in all careers in all forms of motorsports. Stay tuned.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You guys are both just like at the top of your game. You two are, you know, the two most respected women, I think, right now in racing. So I want to start off, since I do have, you know, friends, you know, who don't know any card friends too. If I could just have you guys just talk a little bit, you know, about your accomplishments. I mean, I know them, but and I don't want to mess them up, so I'd rather them they come from you. So Lynn, tell me, you know, what year you started getting into motorsports and driving and just, you know, why you did it.
Well, I mean, I'll try to make it a quick summary because it's been 45 years or more now that I've been in the sport. But I mean, it started when I was a teenager. And of course, when I was a teenager back in the 60s and the muscle car era, when really our whole culture, you know, we're into cars usually, and it was muscle cars. I went to a girls' school, so that wasn't sort of the thing, but the guys I hung out with were. So I went to the drags, drag races were the kind of the local thing, did some drag racing, had some fun and actually won. And my mom wasn't real happy about that when I came home with this trophy and told her what I did. So went to the Indy 500 in 66 or 67, you know, but never, ever still, just that was the, but that planted a lot of seeds, I think. But, you know, the 60s women weren't doing things that they're doing today. And then in the 70s, you know, I saw Billie Jean King beat Bobby Riggs on TV. I saw Shirley Muldowney, you know, out drag racing winning. I actually went out to try to meet her at a drag race once, wasn't successful. But, and then of course, Janet Guthrie in the Indy 500. And so found out real people drove race cars. So I became a member of the Sports Car Club of America. Found out that you had to go to driver's school to get a competition license. And so I started at the very bottom, grassroots, fun stuff. Went out and bought a Ford Pinto, which was my street car, and prepared it for racing, put a roll bar in it, a 5-point seatbelt, and a 5-pound fire extinguisher. And quite frankly, I've never looked back since. I mean, that was in 1974. And I've just been fortunate, but I've worked my butt off as far as getting sponsors and getting to learn to be a much better competitor. Every race, every time you're on the racetrack, not just every race, every time you're on the racetrack, you're always learning. And you're always trying to get better, and conditions change and cars change and people change and all those things. It's the constant is you buckling yourself up into this race car and then trying to figure out how the hell to get this car around the track as fast as you can and as better, hopefully, than other people that you're racing against. And so that's been my journey. It wasn't until I did Indy, quite frankly, in 92, and right, was really more after that, that I got so much fan mail. And there was a switch that went off in my brain that just said, you know, this isn't about me. This is really, I'm doing this for me. But at the same time, I realize I'm carrying the flag for a lot of women. I'm also changing, you know, perceptions from a lot of men. I remember standing on Gasoline Alley, or in, actually at Pit Lane, in 92, I wasn't on the track at a particular time, obviously. And I remember one of those old officials, he was old, saying, looking out over the track and saying to me, this place is going to go crazy when a woman wins Indy. And he didn't say if, he said when. And I think somehow that's when I realized, I looked at him and I said, you bet, and I want to be that woman. But at the same time, I think that was, to me, it was like, oh my God, these guys are paying attention. So that's when my mission really was to try to change the landscape and change opportunities for the young girls that I got emails and not emails because we didn't have email back then, but I got fan mail wanting advice. And so I continued to pursue my own career and at the same time started a driver development program and was fortunate to meet Billie Jean King and to learn about how to, you know, one of my heroes, and was involved with her organization called the Women's Sports Foundation. And so I had leadership, I had role models, I had stuff to draw on to try to figure this out. And I'm not sure I ever figured it out. And then quite frankly, you know, time goes forward and my career was over. I continued doing my programs and got kind of quiet for a while. And then of course I watched Miss Beth Peretta change the world last year at the Indianapolis 500 and just, you know, soaked it in and tears flowed and we got to know each other. And that's kind of how we are now together as co-founders of Women in Motorsports North America. And now it feels so good to have, you know, shoulder to shoulder, lots of different people, men and women also trying to do what needs to get done. So that's, it's about as the long and short of it as I can do for you.
And then we move to Miss Beth Peretta here too. Is you're a marketing and business genius to me, because I listen to you on Shifting Gears and talk. I mean, where you've come from, you know, because you start off in the cars and, you know, even from a market, I'm a marketing person too, and I've worked on the sponsorship deals, and that's so not easy. So tell us a little bit about how you got into everything too.
Thank you for saying that. I come to this with a business perspective. And I think that's the magic of why we're seeing some more momentum now. I think over the years, you know, Lynn or Janet Guthrie before her, and, you know, there's a handful after Lynn. I mean, as I always say too, the fact that if you ask somebody about women racing drivers, they can name four or five, right? And you can name them on, you can count them on one hand. And that was the issue, that you didn't see them. But then here I was working in for automotive companies and working on the business side and also having an experience similar, you know, parallel in other ways where I was the only woman in the room. And you didn't know a lot of women automotive executives, or we all knew each other. And I saw, and I've always had this perspective since I was a little kid. I came to racing as a fan. I started watching it when I was a kid. And so I still to this day, I find something soothing about the racetrack. I know that might seem crazy when you think of like the sensory overload that being at a live race is, but as you can imagine, you know, also on TV as a kid, there's something very compelling about it. It's this beautiful visual, it's action, it has all of these really great elements to it. And that resonated with me as a kid, and it still does to this day, even in the most like primal way. I just love it. I love everything about it. And those of us that work in it, you know, we always sort of say you get bitten by the bug, and no matter what you do, you can't ever shake it. So you're always part of racing, or racing is always part of you. So with that said, here I was now working in a professional capacity in the automotive world, and with that, then as I climbed the ladder as an automotive executive, I then had responsibilities in motorsport, and I saw all of the opportunities that were probably being left on the table of what you could do more with it. And here also the car companies and the suppliers were all lamenting this lack of viable engineering talent or technical talent. And so the idea was, okay, let's, I know that racing captivated my imagination as a kid. What if we do more of that to capture imagination of kids to just feed this pipeline? And again, not where, you know, Lynn put a lot of effort into creating more racing drivers. My thought from the beginning was, let's create all the other things, right? Because there is attention and there's driving schools, but what about mechanic schools and engineering schools? And we know there are some, but let's lift the veil on where they are and how you get into that and what that leads to, especially considering a lot of these skills, you can work on a race team, because I saw it. I saw it firsthand. There are people that work for a race team and then go work for a car company or go work for a supplier. So these are actual like lifelong careers. You know, obviously when you're a driver, there comes a point where you retire and you have to make this big pivot. What do I do? But respectfully, if you're a racing engineer, you can then go be an engineer at Chevrolet. And that's a real thing. Or you can, we have aerodynamicists that, I have an aerodynamicist that used to work at Boeing, and that's a real thing. So seeing it in a very like 50,000 foot, 60,000 foot view, I said, okay, let's do more with it. And then let's, you know, where Lynn and I then joined forces is we knew that there are a lot of these women's programs. There's a lot of effort being made, very grassroots, and it's all good. All progress is good. But we said, all right, let's see if we could figure out a way to all work together and be pulling the rope in the same direction, because, you know, that idea of locking arms and kind of marching together is going to just, you know, kind of get us to get that boulder, you know, up, well up and over that hill, and instead of all of us individually trying. And I think that was kind of the watershed moment for Lynn and I, is like, okay, you know what, we're better together. And that was a perspective I certainly had as a business person of building teams and, you know, that kind of thing. And I said, you know, let's see how we can like amplify, kind of like, not to be cliche, but kind of like a 1+1=3, or at least 1+1=2. Cause for a long time it was 1+1=1.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you guys find it like this. I love it. The business side, the driver side, the mechanic side.
Yeah.
Well, we're 1+1=1,000.
Correct.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, they were all there. And sometimes it's just making sure that everybody, and that, like what I did with my team last year, and I continue to do, you know, just to be clear, is it was really just to be visible. You know, there have been women in racing. I mean, not as many as we'd like. I mean, here's the craziest thing. So our team last year, 2021, it was the 110th anniversary of when the Indy 500 started. So it took 110 years to get a majority woman's team. That might seem crazy, but let me share something that's crazier that I just realized the other day, what the math of this is. Women were first allowed in the paddock at Indianapolis Motor Speedway in 1971.
What?
Women weren't allowed in the paddock prior to 1971. So that seems crazy. And for those of us of a certain generation, like 1971 doesn't necessarily seem that long ago per se, but from 1971 to 2021 is 50 years. So women were led in the paddock in 1971, and it took 50 years to get a majority woman's team.
Wow. I did not know
that's
that.
A long time.
Truth bombs on us.
That's a long time.
Well, when I was there in the 60s with my buddies, they all went into Gasoline Alley to get autographs, and I couldn't go in because I was a woman, a girl. But
yep. I had no idea.
I stuck outside the fence. Yep. And in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a mechanic, a fabricator by the name of Anita Milliken. And yeah. Although she was allowed in and she was very well respected, she's still alive. She was very well respected for what she did among her peers. Because like, let's be honest, this is what's beautiful about racing. It's really the great equalizer in a lot of ways, because if you're good at it, you know, you can be on the team. You know, yes. If you're not good at it, you can't be on the team, right? You've got to be good at it. And everyone will gladly have that woman as a fabricator if she's really good, which Anita Milliken was very good at what she did. But she had to walk around with she wore a handkerchief over her hair so that she wouldn't get heckled by fans.
That is scary. And I find it like disturbing that I had no idea that you guys couldn't do that. And because one of my questions was, Lynn, you know, you guys have been doing this a while. What have the changes you've seen? Because I have friends now, I have girlfriends who work in racing and this is one of the differences, but what other differences have you seen since you first started in it when it comes to women at the track?
Well, first of all, I think just there's more of us, you know, in peppered everywhere, which is great. But I think that comment that official made, you know, was really it was a watershed moment for me that I realized that you do, like Beth mentioned, you have to not only just be good at it, you have to be the best. They, you know, racing wants the best at whatever it is. I don't care if it's changing tires, putting fuel in, whatever it is. And so once women start to demonstrate that they are the best at those skills, they have those skills, and they are deserving and earning that respect and that right to be there, not because they're a woman, but because it's because they're, you know, they're good, they're better than good, is that I'm now seeing that the perception, and let's face it, one of the comments that I will make that I learned last year actually at a conference is that women will never achieve equality without men's support. And so what we really need is to change this attitude about men and not have it be a resistance, or not have it be a check a box, or not have it be forced upon them. So I think we're now just seeing more men engaged in desiring, wanting, respecting, whatever the word is, that, you know, they want to see this change. I mean, they want it for the right reasons. They don't want it to be a forced upon, you know, situation. But I just see that right now as a change versus before, even not that long ago, it was more of, okay, you know, it was that tokenism. You know, we've got, and I even had that when I was out chasing sponsors or when I was trying to get media, you know, that, well, we already had a woman athlete. You know, I mean, it was a check the box tokens kind of mentality that existed in almost everywhere. I mean, not just in racing, but for women. I mean, I think women still were this check the box, whatever woman got, like Beth had commented, you're the only one at the table, you know, well, as long as we got one on boards. I mean, you read it now. I mean, you know, that it's sometimes there's still that tokenism. So I see less of that. I see more, you know, more openness, more desire to want to make it right. And there's more women at the door knocking, wanting in.
Absolutely.
And Beth, you kind of made history too, being the female team owner and bringing it all together. I mean, if you just briefly kind of describe what it takes for you, what it took for you last year to bring in all these women and bring them together onto one team, what was that like for you?
It's funny because I'm doing it again right now.
This year too. I love it. Yes,
we are racing again this year. So yeah, I do the stuff that might seem is the least glamorous roles. So there are so many moving parts. It's, you know, finding that technical partner. So last year it was with Team Penske. This year I have a technical partner in Ed Carpenter Racing, making sure that I can, you know, get the engine contract, the tire contract, the series, all of that sort of stuff, the real, you know, the insurance policies, all the stuff that, you know, that goes into this. Again, it's a small business, but you're a professional sports team. So there's all of the things that go with that. But the really important thing was finding the right people. And I knew that I'd had the right driver in Simona Di Silvestro. So I actually, she was the first person I hired, right? Because that was one of the most important things. But then what we wanted to do, we announced a technical partnership. And then while working with Roger Penske last year, I had always had the idea of wanting to have a bunch of women on the crew. And I will admit that in the beginning, when we first were even having our discussions, I don't want to say that he was apprehensive. It was because he couldn't picture it. And I said, you know, we'd like to get this, you know, have majority women. And this was in early discussions. And I've been in discussions with him I've known him since 2007, but we had some conversations about this. But like I say, he was apprehensive because he's thinking like, where are you going to get these women from? And this, you know, they're rookie. They would be rookies because there aren't enough women. There are a few women on a few other teams. Like there's one woman, on a team that does a tear off. And then there's another woman who's a gearbox specialist, but I can't steal them. I can't poach them. They're on other teams. So where do you find them? And the answer was, after we did our announcement last year, we got a lot of positive press. And Roger said to me, what if we got some women to go on the over the wall and be on the crew? I'm like, it's a great idea. That'd be fantastic. Like, I hadn't thought of that. So
gee, what a crazy idea.
But when you say it, so we then it becomes, okay, how do we find some women that could be up for this? And what we did actually is through Penske, and there's a gentleman who works there who had worked directly with NASCAR, and they had some diversity program to get some women to go through a pit training school. A few of them had gone through it and then never went any further, never got hired, and had moved on with their lives. And literally one's a landscaper, one works for like a health company, you know, and then, so we kind of got a few of those women and then they knew some people and they knew some people. And we started with 9 women that we invited out. And then within a week or two, we whittled it down to 6. So what they did is they were going to Team Penske and they were going in the morning and they were training up. They have a coach, a pit coach, and they were learning what's involved in going over the wall and changing tires. And these women, because they had full-time jobs, because this was a, you know, we did one race last year and this year we're part-time, partial season as well. It's that strange balance of who has the time and who has the flexibility. So you have to find people that actually have full-time jobs that can do this or have part-time jobs that can do this. So what we did, and some of these women that we had, some of them are moms. So they figured out that the time that was, that they had in common was early in the morning. So they got there at 5 a.m. and they trained for an hour and a half, 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday for 3.5 months. So they would do the pit training and then go right into the gym, which is connected. And they were working on specifically the strength training that they needed to do to be over the wall pit crew, agility and strength. And the trick about a pit stop, of course, is accuracy, speed, smoothness, all of those things. And so they trained up for 3.5 months. And I'm proud to say that their first pit stop on a static car was 18 seconds. You need to be less than 6 seconds in order to make it in the big time. But their first pit stop, and, you know, respectfully, I think if I did it, I'd probably be at like 30 seconds. So, 18 is still respectable, but they worked, every day for 3.5 months. And on race day, an IndyCar pit stop is 7 women. And we had 4 of the 7 go over the wall on one team, which had never happened before. I have this wonderful photo of a active pit stop during the race, during the Indy 500. And if you look at it, I can count and point out to you, there are 11 women working between Simona, the over the wall, the behind the wall, retrieving tires, retrieving hoses, dead man, fire extinguisher, engineer, me, our photographer, spotter up in the sky, you know? So one thing that was really cool is, in IndyCar, we have spotters that are, you know, strategically placed at IMS. They're in turn 1 and turn 3, and they're speaking to the driver to release them into traffic and let them know what's around them. Because obviously you've got limited visibility when you're solo, which Lynn can vouch for. So the spotters are your additional set of eyes. And we had a female spotter who's talking to a female driver. And that was an interesting thing on the radio. It was the first time that people were hearing a woman talking to a woman over the radio. And there's all these little things that, you know, in time, and even maybe this year or next year, everyone's going to take for granted and nobody's going to think is different. And we'll see that in, you know, in our lifetimes, and that's going to be great. And there's, you know, a 12-year-old girl at home right now that hopefully one day will have her face on the BorgWarner trophy and she'll know no different. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. And it seems funny that we're still talking about this in 2021, but what I say is, if we want to have any of these sort of little shifts, we just have to be deliberate. We can't assume that things are going to happen. And that's why Lynn and I, you know, are so passionate to work hard together. And again, make sure that like this Women in Motorsport North America, much of the content of what we're doing is just making sure information is available. Where do you find information when you're curious about your career, or maybe you're starting your career and you want to advance your career? And what we're just trying to do is kind of like lift the lid on all of this stuff and just be helpful and make sure that everybody knows that they are welcome and create a welcoming environment. Because the more that we do this, this is the deliberate action that makes, you know, everything easier for everyone after us. And hopefully if somebody opened the door for you, like somebody opened the door for me and somebody opened the door for Lynn, that's what we're doing, is opening the door for people behind us.
Yeah, because that was my next question with the Women in Motorsports North America. What kind of things will you be doing? Like you said, putting information out there, will you be doing like scholarships, internships, or is that something you have planned down the line to increase to get women out into the field?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to jump in. I mean, first of all, Beth, the pit stop that they made in the race, how many seconds?
Less than 5.
Yeah, thank you. We went from 18 seconds to less than five. I just want to make that clear so nobody's remembering the 18 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. And respectfully, too, the crowd, I didn't know this at the in the moment when it happened, but the pit stop, the camera was on our car when they came in. So it was on like the Jumbotron and it was on TV. And when we had a clean pit stop that looked like everybody else's pit stop and Simona tore out of, you know, tore back out of the box and down pit lane, the crowd cheered because they saw that. Yeah. You know, that we looked like everybody else. The only thing was different was a lot of ponytails.
Anyway, so back to the Women in Motorsports North America. First of all, we spent the majority of the time it started last August. And it was getting a gang together. It was getting the group together to have representation of all the different disciplines, professional disciplines in motorsports. And that just was exciting. And it was wonderful because without that, I think, you can't force this from the, you know, down the people's throats. It's got to come from the ground up. And so then it was okay. You know, we're all doing this volunteering. In other words, everybody's got full-time jobs and all of that. So to try to do events and all that, no, we will support other people's events. We will do an event that happened actually supporting an event that happened last year called Women with Drive. It was a summit that happened in Nashville around the IndyCar race. This year it'll be happening October 5th and 6th in Charlotte. And so we're going to be moving that around because that's kind of the symposium, the summit, the gathering of the people, because physical gathering and virtual gathering are all good things. But meanwhile, you can only do so much of that because they're incredibly, you know, intensive. And so it was really I think we all came to the conclusion, if we can create this website that is content rich, as Beth was talking about, that if somebody hears about it, if somebody reads about it, if somebody gets it, kind of tickles their fancy, where do they go to get information? We want to be that portal, even to the media, even to race team, you know, managers or race team owners, people that, you know, what's out there. And we wanted to be that portal. And to create all that content was a huge amount of work. And we just launched it a little over a month ago. So that's kind of our first core presentation, core delivery is this portal of information that's on the website. And that includes a lot of different people in different careers and their piece of advice and to show these, the careers that are available, the kind of careers that are available. And then there's all kinds of content about Racing 101. There's even, you know, some information in there about, you know, sexual harassment, certain guidelines that a lot of companies that are in racing are small companies and they may not have access to a human relations department and things like that. So we're just really content rich. We've got to drive people to go to the website. But at the same time, we do want to do something. And Beth really took the leadership, and I don't know how the hell she's going to do this with also launching the team. But mentorship is the one thing that we do realize is a critical piece that we should be able to deliver. And she's come up with a concept of, with her committee, of having a once a month virtual mentorship program where people can sign up and it'll be a very unique, I think it isn't going to be a traditional storytelling, it's going to be really a meat on the bones kind of mentorship program. You mentioned scholarships and internships. God knows we would love to be able to offer those, but what we really want to do is encourage others to offer those. So we are, you know, anybody that has any scholarship programs or internship programs, let us know about it so we can post it. Even jobs we could post, not the job itself, but we'll post a link to your website that if you're showing those things. So we're going to be this information central portal so that if there are internships, small scholarships, that we will then direct you, meaning the person, the visitor to our website, direct to somebody's website, somebody's information so that they can apply for those scholarships. And ultimately, if we get support and funding, and, you know, we would be able to offer those as well down the road. But right now we're really more about mentorship and information providing and connecting dots, connecting people to existing programs and encouraging other programs to become active, you know, if they don't have one yet.
When just to add on to the mentorship program, and as Lynn said, like, we're also here to help women's initiatives around the country if they want to talk to us about best practices or us linking them to other similar programs so they can share notes, right? Because if you've got something in the Pacific Northwest and something in the Southeast, they can absolutely share. They're not in competition with each other, that sort of thing. So it's a way for them to kind of find each other and talk. But what we want to do with the mentorship program, so yes, we do have a subcommittee, and I do have a woman that is helping us with coordinating the actual like execution of it. But what we really wanted to do differently about this mentorship, these once a month sessions, we're going to record them and have a library that people can watch afterward. But we really encourage people to watch live. That way they can be interactive and ask questions. But we really want to show all the disciplines within racing and across all different types of racing. So it is, you know, people from NHRA and stock car and open wheel and dirt track and everything else. Esports, we even have, you know, we have people in that category too. But the idea that whoever is the subject of the mentor of the month, their host is going to also be in that discipline. So let's say we're talking to somebody that is a track operator. Maybe, you know, they might run, you know, Sonoma Raceway. The person that is then the host, so let's say they're the mentor, the host will also be a track operator. So they can really have an in-depth conversation back and forth about, what was your toughest day on the job? What's a great day? Tell us about a difficult employee and how you manage that, or a difficult employer, or, you know, through the trajectory of your career. So not less about like, how did you get your start? And it's not, cause that stuff's interesting, but that's kind of better for some one-on-one stuff. We really want to get like deeper, you know, and sometimes even ask some of the uncomfortable questions, because I think that's the stuff that that's the next layer, right? That we're not talking about. And that's the stuff that will be really helpful to people as they're advancing their careers. And then the other thing that's fantastic is this network that we've created that you can find on our website. And we're always adding to that all the time. Anyone who's within our network has agreed to share information and stories. So when we do get somebody that's, you know, young, that wants to talk to a track operator, we could say, okay, here, let's introduce you to Jill at Sonoma, or, you know, let's talk to, you know, Barbara, who does public relations, or Katie, who does media. And that way they're right in the wheelhouse versus it being kind of one size fits all.
I like that, because I love that you brought up things you wouldn't think about. Like you said, the HR part, like you don't have anybody to go to, and motorsports, God knows there's been problems I never would have dealt with in like a corporate setting. And it's right. Like, how do I deal with this at the track? And I love the fact that you can put them one-on-one and they can talk about what they've, you know, encountered. And I like that you brought up, there's so many jobs in motorsports. Most people think driver, crew member. Like you said, there's track operators, engineers, right. And the engineers, the fact that, you know, are there girl engineers out there who realize that they're working racing too?
Exactly. How about is a safety, a corner worker, you know, safety marshals, the people that coordinate the tickets, right? The promoters that are promoting an event. I mean, there's so many ways. If you're a race fan, there's a place for you.
Yeah. I mean, there's safety. I mean, like Gail Truis, there are many women who work in the whole safety area, you know, that if they come from medical or healthcare or whatever, then there's that whole, you know, that whole subset. There's just so many. There's so many. There's a lot of moving parts to put a race on and to put a race team on a racetrack.
Oh, no. And the business part too, the sponsorship. I mean, I was like you, I was a fan. And my first job I went into was in motorsports marketing. And I'm like, oh, this is very different from being a fan. I didn't realize what went into getting the sponsorship, putting together the decks, getting the cold calls, researching. And boy, did I learn a lot. And so that's things people don't think about. There's the girls who are like, well, I'm going to do social media. I'll go take a picture at the track. There's more to it than that.
And I don't start me on that one.
Oh, yeah. I know. And it's funny. It's funny because that's what, you know, and sometimes that's kind of like the foot, the door in, right? The foot in the door. There's so much more. In fairness too, like for what I do, I'm fascinated by this part of the business, which is why I do it, right? Like I love this as much as I love the racing, which probably just means I'm a glutton for punishment. But I think if more people also understood this side of the business, if I always think, okay, if I find it interesting, maybe somebody else would too. But it's stuff that most people don't know. But in fairness, as you know, like the real diehard fans do know how important sponsorship is, which is why we actually have why sponsors usually do get a good return for their investment, because longtime race fans know that this is the lifeblood of the sport. So yeah, if there is a sponsor that they can actually, if there's a consumer product, they will do that. And you'll see that, you know, I mean, yeah, how many loyal. Times like, it was like the Tide NASCAR, like they'll only use Tide because they like that driver. That stuff is real.
Yeah, race fans are very loyal to sponsors and always, I mean, historically, all the kinds of data that has been, you know, collected by marketing companies and all that have proven that more than any other sport, because yep. they know it's the lifeblood of the sport, you know, football, yep. baseball. I mean, those teams are going to be out there, whether there's a banner on the side of the, you know, of the stadium or not. Exactly. And so they know that it's the lifeblood, the real hardcore. And people are getting excited, even if they're not a hardcore race fan yet, you know, so they like wearing the shirts and the hats and they buy the products and all that good stuff.
Well, I even encourage my friends too, because, you know, and it's hard to get a sponsor. So I encourage people, I'm like, hey, support your sponsors who sponsor racing so that they will keep investing into racing. Yes. And I even find myself from being in that field, I'll like see a product and I'm like, I'll text a friend, have you kind of tried calling this guy? I think he'd be a good sponsor.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Everywhere in sports, like business to business thing too. I'm like, hey, have you tried this guy? You know?
Yeah. I think my sponsor agency is like, you know, has had it up to here with me. Cause like even the grocery store this week, I'm just like taking photos. Like, have we called them?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I do that all the time too. And I'm like, I think, you know, be the right thing. So yeah. I appreciate all aspects of it. And so I'm glad that you guys are addressing all aspects.
We talk about it.
Mentors mm-hmm. for all aspects of this sport.
No, but nobody liked to watch the Super Bowl with me because I sat there with a legal pad making notes of all those multi-million dollar ads that they were doing. And those are the companies right. I went after.
Yes.
No, I same way. I work with my sales department here too. And we all like carry pads. If you're next to that truck in traffic, you're like, huh, I wonder if that company would be interested.
Yeah.
Great to mention that we have this event June 1st at the Automotive Hall of Fame, which is in Detroit. Yeah. So Lynn, would you want to,
June 1st, I think it starts at 3:00 in the afternoon. It's a symposium, Women Breaking Barriers. And there's it takes place at the Automotive Hall of Fame with a limited capacity, but there is some space still available. But more importantly, because we are obviously you're primarily talking to people in Indianapolis on Wish TV, is that you can sign up for the virtual, and the virtual then enables you to watch the whole thing. And so you go to the website. What we'll have to do is go ahead.
We can get sent to the link to you, but yeah. Automotive Hall of Fame, Women in Motorsport North America, and virtual attendees, I believe, might be able to ask questions in real time virtually. I think we will have a moderator, but it is June 1st from 4 to 9 at the Automotive Hall of Fame in Dearborn, Michigan. And why that's especially special that we're going to be at the Automotive Hall of Fame is later this summer in July, Lynn St. James is being inducted into the Automotive Hall of Fame.
Yay!
So more information to follow there, but that's why this conversation started and they wanted to do a Women in Motorsport symposium. And it's going to be a big summer at the Automotive Hall of Fame celebrating Lynn St. James. And she is going to be a featured part of this panel on June 1st.
Thank you for doing that. It's hard for me to promote myself, you know that, but Beth will be on the panel, myself, Taylor Ferns, who is a great race car driver, primarily USAC, and Laura Clouser, who is a representative representing General Motors, is one of the top engineers that represents General Motors in motorsports, in IMSA and in IndyCar. So, you know, we've got engineering, we've got, you know, Beth as owner, we've got me as driver and Taylor as driver. And then there'll be a film that's actually shown that is about Betty Skelton. It's a great documentary that'll be part of the program. But it's going to be informational and entertaining.
Absolutely. Yes, I'd love to. I appreciate the link, and I can put the link to that too. And how did it take so long to put you in there, Lynn? Why, you should have been in there a long time ago.
No. This to me is still beyond, because the Automotive Hall of Fame is it's about the automotive industry. You know, I mean, it is. I guess it's probably, I perceive it anyway, is that it's, yeah, I mean, I didn't win the Indy 500. I was in it 7 times, but, you know, it's not about my motorsports only. It's really about, because I did, you know, I did a lot of things outside the cockpit. And so I think it's a collective thing. And And I still don't understand it, but I'm so appreciative and so proud. So
I've taken up so much of your time and for like, I thought it'd be 20 minutes. So, but this is a great conversation about women and motorsports. And I appreciate so much of what you guys are doing. And I think I have to get you guys on separate times again, just because I could keep going and going and asking you more questions.
That's good.
Because you have so much love experience, it. But I really appreciate you guys coming on today. And so tell us again about your website and where to find the website. And if you're on social media, everything, where can these girls go to find everything?
So it's www.women, in motorsports, that's plural, NA for North America.com. Okay. So that's the actual website. And I mean, once you get there, it does take a little navigating because it's so rich, as I said, with information, but we've worked really hard to try to make it kind of accessible and easy to navigate through, to look for the kind of things that you would be interested in. And sometimes it probably will take multiple visits because, you know, you'll kind of, it'll unearth something and then you'll go there and then you want to come back and, you know, visit it again. We are also on Facebook. We are also on Twitter. We're on LinkedIn. And what's the other one? Instagram.
Yeah. So
we have all of those. I am
at Twitter. It's WIMSNA, but you can certainly find all of those links from the website. So womeninmotorsportsna.com. But I think if in the search, I wish it was a little smoother than that, that it was all the same, but unfortunately, you know, these days it's hard to get continuity across all platforms because things are taken. But we're on LinkedIn, as Lynn said, Facebook, but the best resource is our website.
Perfect. And I hope everybody goes to that. And I know I will be checking out a lot too. So thank you guys so much. And like I said, hopefully I'll see you out at the races and good luck to you this season back.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thank you again for listening. I'm Nikki Clark, and this is Women Take the Wheel. Be sure to connect and follow on Facebook when you search for Women Take the Wheel podcast. And be sure to follow and subscribe to this podcast right now on the All Indiana Podcast Network.
From the All Indiana Podcast Network, this is Women Take the Wheel with Nikki Clark. Follow and subscribe to this podcast now and discover even more great podcasts on the All Indiana Podcast Network. Online at allindianapodcastnetwork.com. allindianapodcastnetwork.com.